there are about 900 English translations of the Bible. This is mind-boggling and confusing. What is the need for such prolific work in one language? From these 900, what is the best, authentic, and the right translation? Some say King James Version is the only authorized and inspired version. Others argue for NASB, NIV, and ESV. What is the truth? What should I do? Today, we will look into the matter from a very practical aspect. You are hearing to the Christian podcast, Mana. In Hebrew, what is it? Welcome. It is true. According to the American Bible Society, there are about 900 different English translations of the Bible. This fact has contributed to the confusion and debate that now exist, and is a cause for division among many sincere Christians. Three questions need to be answered to get a grasp of this issue. Biblically, how should I understand the concept of translation? Number two, what is the philosophy behind the need for these many translations? Number three, what translations of the English language is best efficacious? Let us look at the first one. Biblically, how should I understand the concept of translation? Before we go anywhere on this topic, it is important to note that if you are looking for a perfect translation, you will be frustrated. There are no perfect translation of the Greek into English language. For perfection, you will have to invest time to study the Greek and Hebrew, the original languages of the Bible. If this is so, what is the real purpose of a translated Bible? The purpose of a translation is to give the closest sense of the scriptures so that the reader will understand and do what God wants. Let me highlight the phrase, closest sense of the scriptures. Any translation aims only to bring out the closest sense of the scriptures. That is why translations are not perfect. After 70 years of exile in Babylon, the refugees who came back to Israel had lost the understanding of the Hebrew language, which was their mother tongue. They were Hebrews who did not know Hebrew. Only the priests and the Levites had any understanding of the original language. Therefore, in their public reading of the Torah, Ezra read the law in Hebrew, while the priests translated into a language known to the people. This is what is recorded about that event in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. I quote, "They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading." Close quote. Again, to quote a similar example, when Daniel was reading the handwriting on the wall to King Belshazzar, he was not giving a perfect meaning, instead was giving a sense, an interpretation of the hidden riddle, and from that what God was saying to the king. Daniel 5:25-28. The purpose of any translation from the original languages, in the case of the Bible, Greek and Hebrew, to a secondary language, in our case English, is to give a sense of the text so that the reader will understand. To have a perfect rendering, the reader will have to read the Bible in Greek and Hebrew. Now, to answering the question of the philosophy of different biblical translations and what is the most efficacious. There is a need for simpler translation for younger children and the youth. English Bibles with a thought-for-thought translation philosophy, also called the paraphrased Bibles, help young readers. The Good News Bible, the New Living Bible, and the Living Bible are good examples of such a translation. In these type of Bibles, the meaning of the whole verse or its summary is written into simple, modern English. Adults may use this translation with caution for comparative study or if a summary understanding of a paragraph or a chapter is desired. Secondly, there are adults who are new believers, who are fairly new to faith, or even teenagers who read the Bible. They need a translation that is easily understandable, but not as simplistic as versions for the children. Older versions of the NIV, New International Standard Version, is good for such readers. Why the older version and not the new NIV? This will be answered later. Believers, especially in this group, are new to faith or are trying to get established in faith. They are trying to understand the layout of the Bible and make sense of the preaching or teaching coming from the pulpit. At home, they may be reading alone, without a teacher or the aid of other resources. They want to understand the scriptures and make sense of what is written. NIV is a good Bible for both adult newcomers as well as teenagers. NIV is like a broad brush that helps the painter fill most of the large oversized canvas of the mind. But profound details of the glorious picture, the glorious truths, can only be done by fine, exquisite brushes. At this point, we come to the third groups of Bibles, Bibles that are translated from the Greek word for word and rearranged in the English to make sense to the English readers. These translations are called word-for-word translations. These Bibles give you the closest rendering to the original Greek text. They are accurate, most literal, and highly reliable translations. Some common examples for word-for-word translations are NASB, KJV, NKJV, ESV, and the Amplified Bible. ESV comes from the KJV Tyndale tradition. If you're not educated in the Greek, this is the closest you can get to in the English language. It is also important to note that these versions are the most difficult to understand in the English language, which is why many are put off with these versions. But the English Standard Version, ESV, has done a better job at readability. A serious Bible student or a believer in faith for some years ought to be using one of these translations. Why? Because eventually you will want to be like the Bereans, who examined even Apostle Paul to see if he is true, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These translations help in the final examination of the truth and establish both the small and the great precepts of the word more firmly. These translations are like those fine brushes that accurately fill in those details. What translation should you be careful about? Be careful about the latest versions of the New International Bible, the NIV Bible. It is a good version for the verses that are in it. But there are many verses that are not in the text of the NIV, which are in NASB or KJV or ESV versions. Examples are Matthew chapter 12:47 is taken off from the latest version of the NIV. Matthew chapter 17 verse 21 is taken off. Matthew chapter 18 verse 11 is taken off, and many more such examples persist. In the latest version of the NIV, Mark 16 ends at verse 8. Verses 19 through 20, 12 verses are put out of the main text in the Gospel. This is a serious act that can cause serious doubt in the minds of sincere believers. Moreover, when considering that other reliable translations have not done so, the motivation of the NIV committee is in question. Be careful when you use this version. Pray to the Lord for wisdom in dealing with this version in the future. What translations should you absolutely avoid? Avoid the Message Bible at all cost. Run as fast as you can from it. Eugene Patterson is the sole author of the Message Bible. Most of all the reliable translations undertake the work of translation by a committee of translators. Bibles translated by a committee of translators is more reliable and avoids personal biases. Any Bible with a single author is a suspect for preconceived notions. Moreover, lately Mr. Patterson has come under tremendous criticism for his overt and covert stance on unbiblical marriage. But most egregious is the tasteless, impious wording and the phrase in this translation. Avoid the Message Bible. It has no message for you. That is the real truth. What is the real problem? Let us look at it. About 3/4, 75% of Christians say that they believe the Bible is the Word of God. Hurrah! But 8 in 10, about 83% of the Muslims. Amongst the Christians, it is 75%. Amongst the Muslims, it's 83%. 8 in 10, 83% of the Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God. This shows that more Muslims are confident of their Quran's divine inspiration than Christians are about their Bibles. What about Bible readership among Christians? Only 35% of the Christians read their Bible weekly, which means 65% of the Christian population do not even open their Bibles at least once a week. Pew Research, article April 14, 2017. In the same article, Bible readership amongst the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are much higher than among the born-again Protestants. 88% of the Jehovah's Witnesses and 77% of the Mormons read their Bibles at least once a week. The cults are doing a better job in reading the Bible than born-again believers. This number diminishes further if readership is considered on a daily basis. Only 22% of Christians read at least few passages each day. Lifeway Research, April 2017. The number gets darker. Almost 9 out of 10 households, 87% of American households own a Bible according to the American Bible Society. And an average household has about 3 Bibles on their shelves. However, more than half of Americans have read little or none of the Bible in their lifetime. Lifeway Research, April 2017. Dr. Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, calls this as a scandal of biblical illiteracy. Researchers George Gallup and Jim Castelli puts the problem squarely. I quote, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates." Close quote. How bad is it? Researchers tell that it is worse than most could imagine. How much are the small groups helping? The same article by Mohler states that Bible teaching now often accounts for only a diminishing fraction of the local congregation's time and attention. The move to small group ministries have certainly increased opportunity for fellowship, but many of those groups never get beyond superficial Bible study. What about youth ministries? Mohler comments about this saying, "Youth ministries are asked to fix problems, provide entertainment, and keep kids busy. How many local church youth programs actually produce substantial Bible knowledge in young people? Additionally, movies have helped to crush any remnants of Bible in a Christian. A Barna poll indicated that at least 12% of the adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. If this was not a tragedy, this all looks like a script from the Saturday Night Live comedy show. The real problem today is not that we have multiplicity of translations. Instead, it is that many are not reading the scriptures. We need to stop fighting over translations and start reading the book. Do you read the Bread of Life at least once a day? Do you take time to meditate on that word and allow the Lord to speak to your hearts? Or is it that we only have time to go to work, take kids to games, buy and sell, build and prosper, marry and give into marriage? Let us start reading this book. Let us live from the Bread of Life. For the data on the polls that was quoted in this podcast, please refer to besaved.org. BESAVED.org. Go to the timeline on the home page and click on the title, "What Translations Should I Use?" You have been listening to the Christian podcast Manna. In Hebrew, what is it? Till next, God bless, be prepared for His coming, and bye-bye.